Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins, and I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before we begin today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry. And this was given to the founder many years ago, Joseph Hedgecock. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things and it's blessed them, but there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I do not want them to take the years it took you to get to me because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This includes those who are on the narrow way and trying to get and enter into the kingdom of God now. I'll be speaking today on the narrow way. I recommend that you read the chapter on the narrow way in the book My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. Since the day of Pentecost, the kingdom has been here. This is the kingdom of God now on this earth. It is existed by the Spirit on this earth for nearly 2,000 years. So people can get forgiveness of sins, come into the light, repent, and get ready for his appearing. This will be a time when Jesus returns or when we die. We need to be ready. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, "Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in that way. Because the straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree that brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Jesus is warning us to enter in through the narrow way and to be aware of the false prophets who would deceive us. Jesus spoke about the leaders of his generation, and he said this in Matthew 15 and 14. "Let them alone," he said. "They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Joseph Hedgecock says in chapter 9 of the book My Sheep Hear My Voice on page 109, "There is a very comfortable Christianity most believers are following, but the end of that way is death. Jesus himself warned us that very few find the straight gate and the narrow way, which leads to life. Be honest about your fruit and see if you are a follower of Christ." Jeremiah 29 and 13, it says, "You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." Charles Finney was a great revivalist in America, and was given this verse at his conversion to Christ. He started on the narrow way. He spent time with God and only wanted to please God and not others with his gospel messages. Joseph Hedgecock says in the book My Sheep and My Voice, in chapter 9 on page 111, "A false minister will say, 'I'm okay, you're okay.' The underlying theme of such pastors' ministries will be to please self instead of God. Most of their sermons will be based on what you can receive from your walk with God rather than what you can do to please Him. The straight gate means narrow, from obstacles standing close about. Straight, in Strong's 4:7-8. The straight gate is not easily found because Satan uses everything he can to try to hide it. Noah Webster's definition in 1828 in his dictionary defines straight as five things. It means close, narrow and not broad. Two, it means close and intimate. Three, it means strict or rigorous. Four, it means difficult or distressful. Five, it means straight and not crooked. Joseph Hedgecott says in his book, My Sheep and My Voice, on page 113, the door to life is very narrow, and it's surrounded by obstacles, and these are intended to keep you from entering in or even seeing it. The entrance to the narrow way is not hidden, but it is clearly marked with all the things that the flesh does not like, and given bad press by the devil. Joseph Hitchcock says in the book My Sheep and My Voice again, on pages 113 to 114, the broad way offers prosperity, temporal blessings, and ease of life. So it's not surprising that multitudes go that way. Satan has paved that highway with deception, and what begins as a luxurious boulevard ends in destruction. The straight way starts off with pressures and obstacles, but it leads you to life. You must be willing to pay the price to go through the straight gate and walk in the narrow way. It's only on the narrow way you find the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father and the Spirit. The narrow way takes you right to the throne. I am blessed that I have been shown the way and can share it with others. You can begin on the narrow way but easily end up on the broad road, and reduce Christianity to nothing more than just another religion. The word broad means wide, spacious, or broad. Strong's number 2149. Only the narrow way leads to a deep, intimate relationship with God. The devil does not have to work hard at distracting carnal Christians. Even if they get on the narrow path, you need to develop a taste for the truth, conviction in doing His perfect will. Otherwise, you'll fall back to your old ways. This is why Jesus needs to also be your first love. You need a love for the truth to stay on the narrow way. The church teaches all you have to do is be born again, but this also reduces Christianity to just a single religious experience. In the Gospels, Jesus said this in Luke 9:23-24. And He said to them all, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Denying yourself and taking up your cross opens up all the promises that Jesus gave to His disciples. But this is not being taught today. Leaders have given false hope to the church, and everyone will have to give an account for this. People are told to claim promises without any mention of what it means to follow Christ. Jesus promised His disciples in John chapter 16 and verse 12 and 13. He said this, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, When he, the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Only truth can expose lies, and through repentance, with his help, you can repent of all the hindrances. Repentance is part of that narrow way. Do not resist. Do not harden your hearts when the Holy Spirit convicts. To be ready for the kingdom, you have to establish him as Lord now and live in the light. This means hearing what the flesh doesn't like. If you're living in the light, you are repenting of the truth that God reveals to you through the Holy Spirit personally, and make no excuses to stay on the narrow way. Paul said in Hebrews 3:15, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. When you find the narrow way, you realize how valuable truth is. Jesus said in Matthew 13:46, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Those on the broad way can even mock those who are struggling to get knowledge and wisdom the hard way. They will see no value in correction and chastening for the sake of righteousness. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Do you believe that Jesus is really Lord now? If he is Lord now, that means anyone on this earth who's making decisions themselves, using their own mind about their own lives, is in a state of rebellion. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. The devil is the one who's making the world blind. Without the narrow way and real consistency in the spirit, the devil will steal the glory of the gospel of God manifesting through you personally. Jesus came to forgive your sin. Jesus came to set you free, bringing glory to God. John said in 1 John 3:8, this is the epistle of John, 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus can destroy all the works of the devil if you submit to him as Lord. If you keep sinning, that should be enough evidence for you that you are still under the devil's control. You came here to not only be set free, but to destroy the works of the devil in others and rescue others as well. If you spend all your time doing something that God did not intend, that is also sin. It's a sin of omission. God keeps records. He sent you here and knows exactly what you were supposed to do in this life. You need the details. First of all, number one, you should get to know the Father and the Son and be led by the Holy Spirit. Two, function under his rule and serve him. Number three, to establish his kingdom first in your life, but then on this earth. Four, to be part of establishing his commands and bring heaven on earth. And number five, kick out the devil. Paul was an example at what he was preaching. He said this in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Many churches will say God understands it's okay to keep sinning. The truth is you are supposed to repent and get ready after being born again. Paul was talking about the bride getting ready. And Paul said this in Ephesians 5, 26 and 27. He's talking about a marriage relationship with Jesus. Ephesians 5, 26 and 27. "That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy, without blemish." The glorious church has the fruit of the Spirit in abundance. The fruit of the Spirit comes from abiding in him and obeying the Holy Spirit consistently. This kind of fruit in our lives is the evidence of his lordship and brings glory to the Father. We read in what Jesus said in John 15 and 18. "Herein is the Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." If you lack the fruit of the Spirit, then you're not on the narrow way. You do not produce this by your own efforts. Jesus said, Matthew 7 and 20, "Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them." I'm not here to judge, but quite a few Christian leaders around the world, leading wealthy worldwide denominations, have fallen to sin and committed adultery. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 21, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father which is in heaven." Baby Christians are happy to worship God and call him Lord, even though they don't have the right fruit. This is also the broad road. Eventually, you will see the signs in the church that something is wrong. And bad fruit appears again and again. When this happens, you know that you have lost a lot of time on the wrong road. Then you'll wake up and look for the narrow way. John 14 and 6 says this, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The narrow way, according to Jesus, includes these three things. Listen carefully. Number one, Jesus is the way, so that you have to become like him in every way. Conform to him. Number two, Jesus is the truth, and that means daily conviction on the narrow way. Truth exposes lies. Number three, Jesus is the life that gets closer to the Father. And this is only possible through holiness. Many trust in the fact that they go to church with the right doctrines, but truth is a person. So if you do not know Christ intimately, you don't know the truth. You can only get to know the truth by following Christ, not by going to Bible college. So many are following a leader who is a novice, it seems today, living a comfortable life, who tells them that they what they want to hear. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, "Be ye followers of me," he says, "even as I am of Christ." Paul's advice, only follow those who have evidence that they are following Christ. If your ears are being tickled at church, be careful. Paul said it to Timothy, chapter 4 and verse 3. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heaped to themselves, teachers having itching ears. Jesus' disciples were fishermen, tax collectors. These were not academics. The tax collectors were considered to have sided with the Romans and had betrayed the Jewish faith. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." Jesus reduced the size of the crowd following him. He started with crowds of 4,000 and 5,000 in a small region of Galilee. This was a village. Even people came from far to hear him. The Jews feared Jesus because of the massive following he had. And this is why they tried to discredit him and trap him with his words. Just make sure that you are living in the truth and enter the kingdom now. Acts chapter 1 and verse 15. "And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. The number of names together with all was just 120. Only 120 made it to the upper room that were part of the first church. In Matthew 16 and 18, Jesus said, "I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon thy rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The church of Jesus Christ is not built on a person. It's built on Jesus Christ himself, on hearing and obeying what the Father says. Jesus said this in Matthew 7, 24 to 26. Listen carefully. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these things, these sayings of mine, and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." And Jesus said this. He didn't start a Sunday service. Instead, he was busy making disciples and baptizing. The Church of Jesus Christ is still here today, and it's only the only one not affected by all the strategies of the devil. Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. He said, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it cometh and where it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." We now have the Spirit of God, and he is in us, so we can hear and obey his voice. Jesus said in John 10, 27 and 28, he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand." Everyone on the narrow path is hearing God clearly for themselves. We do not put our faith in pastors or leaders or denominations. God can use somebody, and you should submit to the one that God has chosen for your life by the Holy Spirit. But your faith is in God. that he sent that person or ministry to help you. However, you cannot rely on being in the right church or having a good pastor. Joseph shared this testimony in his book, Sound Doctrine, pages 104 to 105. He says, I grew up in church and then became a prodigal son. I ran from God, and finally, God loved me enough to drop a rock on my head and brought me to humility. If you had asked me what I knew about the Bible based on my godly upbringing, I would have shared several truths or doctrines that without a doubt were absolute truth. The foremost truth would have been the Christmas story. After I repented, I came back to God and I started reading the Bible for myself. I'd never done that before. I started reading the Gospels, and through it would be interesting to go back over the Christmas story. I was shocked because I couldn't find any reference to three kings. There was always three kings. It did mention wise men or astrologers, but it didn't say anything about kings or there being three of them. There were three gifts, so maybe somebody jumped to the conclusion that there were three of them. But they could have been 30 of them. The Bible clearly describes the manger, the shepherds, and the angels singing. I can confirm that part by scriptures. I have to admit it unsettled me a bit to realize if all have accepted a part of the Christmas story without question, and it wasn't even in the Bible. Well, at least if they did bring gifts to baby Jesus in the manger, even if there were, may not have been three of them, they weren't kings. But wait, that wasn't in the Bible either. The King James Bible says he was a young child, not a baby. I'm not trying to make a big issue out of this, but the way we always did it seemed right. It was not the truth. There was no doubt in my mind that there were three kings in the manger, yet Scripture would not confirm this. When my eyes were opened by the Word, I chose to believe the actual truth of the Scriptures rather than what I previously believed. Had I not read it for myself, this is one of the reasons why we should study to show ourselves approved. What are you doing with your faith? Have you chosen to believe the truth with your mind? This could be the reason you are hearing the devil's voice. Instead, the carnal mind is contaminated with the devil's lies until it's been removed by root repentance. As long as you try to believe things in your mind, you will be deceived because the devil has access there. Instead, ask the Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit bears witness, then believe what he confirms in your heart. Everything in your mind has to be tested first to find out what is from God. And then what is not from God has to be removed by repentance. Only the Holy Spirit can lead you into all truth. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to test what you hear being preached. The devil is easily able to use young preachers today with an ambition for success and take them captive. Paul said in 1 Timothy 3 and 5, for if a man knows not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Verse 6, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 6, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he shall fall into the condemnation of the devil. Check now before it's too late. Is your faith in any of these things? Number 1, your church denomination. Number 2, your pastor, that he will save you and tell you the truth. Number 3, church traditions and doctrines. Number 4, that you'll be saved because you just confess the word. Number 5, that you're saved because you attend a big church and all the people cannot be wrong. Number six, attend a church, tithe and give to the church lots of your money. That you'll be saved because, number seven, that you'll be saved because you have repeated some words in the sinner's prayer or creed. Number eight, that you are a church elder or leader. Number nine, that you have a relationship with God because your father and mother were committed church members. When you realize your faith is any of these things, then you'll also have to accept that your faith cannot be 100% in God. You should be attending a church that brings conviction. Do not allow your mind to build another set of doctrines that stops you from seeking God daily. Every word of conviction from someone who is following Christ is a blessing, even if it is a hard saying. Remember, many stop following Jesus because of the hard sayings about repentance. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You should be fighting the good fight and contending for the truth. And the devil always come with alternatives, like it says here in Proverbs 14:12. If you are not in the Spirit and listen to your own mind, it is possible to come off the narrow way. But if you're ready to follow Jesus, this is what he promised his disciples in John 14:26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." You need a comforter, a reminder when you're on the narrow way, who will always tell you the truth and not tell you lies and pamper your flesh. This promise is especially for those who are just starting to follow him, as you'll get a lot of correction. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not your understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Trusting in Jesus with all your heart means obeying the Holy Spirit that he gave you and not lean to your understanding. Proverbs 3 and 7 says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Repentance from evil is the evidence of the narrow way, because it shows that he is destroying the works of the devil in you. Jesus is the truth, and the truth exposes lies in you. It shows you that you have spent time with God getting answers, and he will make you free as you obey that truth. John 8 verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." James says to be a doer of the word. As you hear the truth, you're supposed to be a doer of the word. James 1:21-24 says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner he was." The only reason you struggle with being a doer is because you have been lord of your own lives for a long time. Habits need to be broken. But if you're a child of God, you have the means to come to repentance and get to the truth. Hallelujah. I had a big rock dropped on my own head after grace ran out in my own life. I accepted Jesus as my Savior, but he was not Lord of my life. I did not enter through the narrow way. I reap what I have been sowing. I was crying out to God at the time for mercy. I nearly didn't even enter the narrow way because of a lie I was believing. I even remember hearing a voice saying, "Surely I am safe because of all the ministry I've done for God since the time I was born again." But Paul said in Philippians 2 and 13, "For it is God which worketh in you to will and to do his good pleasure." I was zealous and trying to be faithful, and did many works myself in spiritualized flesh. My mind was full of lies too. I had a confidence that all my doctrines were right and had no fear of God. I was trusting in the fact that I had done so much for God. And this voice I was hearing was contrary to Scripture, but at the time I didn't realize. So God, in his mercy, gave me a vision of a twisted tree with all kinds of bad fruit on it to show me what I had become. Jesus said this will happen very soon. Matthew 7, 22 and 23, it says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done wonderful works?' And I will profess unto them, 'I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity.'" It was only by God's grace that I entered the narrow way. I did not get there without the help of this ministry and the books of Joseph Hedgecock. This is why I always recommend that you read them. Paul said in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, he said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God." Becoming a living sacrifice is necessary in order to get on the narrow path. If you are still conformed to this world, you are not following Christ. When you follow Christ, you will soon lose sight of the world and you will be able to prove that God's perfect will with many testimonies of his grace. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6 and 10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Even the Jews had to appeal to Judas Iscariot, the one who collected the money for Jesus' ministry, to betray him. If you love money, you will betray Christ. Some of the largest churches today are built on money, funded by the rich. The teaching you hear is full of vain or empty sayings. We emphasize material wealth rather than eternal gain. The devil knows that unless you balance knowledge with wisdom, you will never get understanding. Instead, you'll get puffed up, and the world and the church is seeking success without understanding, driven by the love of money, and sin being drawn away by the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. Matthew 6, 24, Jesus warned us. He said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Leaders with salaries are trapped, unable to bring truth. If they do, conviction will make the church uncomfortable. If the pastor makes a stand for the truth, he's in danger of losing his income. One pastor of a large Pentecostal church on a small salary told me this, that he could not invite me again because he would lose his job if he did. Peter said, in Acts chapter 2, verse 40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untowards generation. You will have many sorrows if your success is defined in just earthly possessions and money. I believe Paul is saying the love of money in the church is the reason why many do not enter in the narrow way. Jesus said again in Matthew 19:24, and again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus told us how to enter the narrow way. This is in Luke 13:23-25. Then he said unto him, Lord, are there a few that be saved? And he said unto them all, verse 24, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Verse 25, when once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not from where you are from. Are you struggling to enter? This is not wrong. The world today provides so much knowledge. If you listen to this world, you'll be told not to put up with any discomfort or seek God or go through a struggle to get wisdom. The word strive is defined like this in Strong's number 75. It means to struggle, literally, to compete for a prize, figuratively, to contend with an adversary, or to endeavor to accomplish something, fight, labor, and labor fervently and strive. Living in fellowship with God requires effort on your part. You are getting married to Christ, remember. After all, there are a lot of changes to make. There are struggles at the start of any marriage or even a small business. And those who've experienced success without dishonesty would have faced a few struggles and trials starting a small business. Today, no one wants to struggle to enter the kingdom of God, but they'll do it for money. Jesus said it like this in Luke 9:62. And Jesus said unto them, or unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. If you will struggle for temporal gain, but not for your own soul and the need to repent, if you do not work out your own salvation and work on your own relationship with Jesus, then you're not worthy of the kingdom of God. Paul says you have to pay a price if you want to win the prize and do your basics consistently. 1 Corinthians 9:25, he said this. This is 1 Corinthians 9:25. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible one. The striving here talked about is nothing more than counting the cost and paying the price to get yourself in shape to live with God for eternity. We need to do that now. We do not have time to do it in heaven because time doesn't exist there. So now is the time to repent. In eternity, what we are at the beginning is what we will be at the end. You have to do all your repentance now, here and now. Christianity is a relationship. So it will only work when two people do something, not when one person does everything and the other person does nothing. In this case, Jesus has already paid the price, and he's perfect, so he doesn't need to change. That means we are the ones who have to do the changing. This is what the striving is all about. Joseph Hedgecock says in the closing remarks of the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, page 217. If you want something you've never had before, you must do something you've never done before. Paul said in his experience, the struggle will continue. Ephesians 4 and 13, he says this, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God and to a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. Paul even needed this in his ministry to help him. He said in 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. The narrow path is choosing to take the route that God has chosen for your life. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He will get the glory only when he is in charge. He does not want your money or your help from you, just your obedience. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. If you do not enter in through the narrow way, as Jesus taught, then you will be among the foolish virgins. Did anyone tell you this? There are only two church denominations in the Bible, wise and foolish. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Verse 2, and 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Verse 3, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Verse 4, the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. You can ask God to forgive you your sin with a simple prayer, but only by following Jesus have you repented of your own lordship. You cannot repent of pride, but you can humble yourself and get in Christ. Living consistently in the Spirit takes you onto the narrow way and keeps you there. You're deceiving yourself if you think that you will have a great reward in heaven or rule and reign with him without following him and denying yourself daily. Christians have a habit of thinking that they can just claim their inheritance with a simple prayer without denying themselves daily. This is the cheap gospel. There are many promises in the Word of God, and nearly all of them have conditions. So we need to be prepared to look carefully and honestly at those conditions. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, Paul said this, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. You must not turn to the flesh to try and keep the law either. Paul also described the Galatians as foolish virgins when he said this. In Galatians 3 and verses 1 to 3, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Galatians 3 and 3. Are you so foolish then, having begun in the Spirit, you have now me being made perfect in the flesh? You can start in the Spirit but end up in the flesh. You must believe a foolish lie that he will overlook your iniquity and because of some good works you've done or because of your keeping the law, you will not be saved by works of any kind. Paul had to remind the church in Ephesians 2 and starting in verse 8. This is Paul speaking. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace, he said, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For ye are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath prepared before, ordained that we should walk in them. Right now, if you are still doing your own works and not his, then you are rebelling against God. You cannot claim ignorance. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says this, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It is high treason to be Lord of your own life when he is ruling. He is ruling now. And you can only be happy doing what he has called you to be. You will never be what he says unless you let go and trust him. With God, all things are possible. And if you can accept that you are the problem, then he can help you with a good diagnosis. But if you think that God is the problem, then you could end up like the lazy and the wicked servant. Jesus said in Matthew 25, starting in verse 24, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I know thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Verse 25, and I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast what is thine. Verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I had sowed not, and gather where I had not strawed. Verse 27, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. And then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to the one that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Verse 30. And cast this unprofitable servant into outer darkness where there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Free Bibles are often sent to Africa and not read. Orphans never get to hear the Bible being read out to them, even though the pastor has a copy on his shelf. The church has to be learned to be faithful in the little first. Being faithful is part of the narrow way too. Jesus said in Luke 16 and 10, he that is faithful in which is little, in least, is also faithful in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If Jesus gave you a little task, you should not be unhappy. Someone else might have to do a lot more, not to lose their reward. The only thing you can do is to be faithful and listen to his voice, trust and obey. If you think God owes you something and that he has given to somebody else. Think again. You are deceived. You are living in darkness. You're working at iniquity, defending lies rather than accepting you. Your heart is still hard. Our faith has to be released into the fact that Jesus is Lord and that he is ruling now. He is in control now. Reject everything that says otherwise. Here is a testimony from Germany about a small snail. You may enjoy this. This really brought joy and peace into my heart. And he had another surprise for me. He let me see a snail crossing the street. I observed it for nearly 30 minutes, and it spoke to me how it crept over the street, over every small stone or pine cone. She didn't avoid the hindrances. She just confidently climbed it and trusted to find its way. Later, she even climbed up a tree, which must have been more exhausting than to continue on the floor. I got the thought that God wanted to confirm what he said to me with this picture. I should continue, no matter what comes, and take the hindrances as they come, and use them to continue like the small snail. I don't have God's view of the surrounding, but he kept that snail safe. There were ravens and birds crying. Some snails had been flattened in the street, but it just went on, and the snail even seemed to have no aim of itself. We are to live a life following Christ, keeping to the narrow way, not getting off to the left or to the right. We have to face the challenges that he sets before us and overcome. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 5, he that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Joseph Hedgecott says in Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, Chapter 1 on page 28, we are warned in Revelation 3 and 5. This scripture will put the fear of the Lord in you. Why would he say he will not blot out your name unless it is possible? Your guarantee is found in overcoming your flesh and Satan. The decisions you make now determines your position in eternity. For more information, read chapter 10 of Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually. To get the victory, we have to be going at the right speed. We have to hear his voice, or we will miss God. The victory is not being conformed to this world and following and having the comfort of the Holy Spirit when we are following the Master. We cannot say we have overcome, because the victory is obtained by abiding in him, because he has already overcome. He will give us the grace to overcome, because he is in control of everything. What he allows can be overcome by trusting him. God can make a way where there is no way. John said in 1 John 5 and 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Joseph Hedgecott would always say to me, I have more fun when everything is going wrong than most people can when it is going right. The carnal Christian will avoid the difficulties and take the easy way for the flesh, but that does not require any faith to overcome. However, when you take over the Lordship, then you will open yourself up and fall into temptation. Joseph Hedgecott had faith for whatever challenges he would face. If it was a small hurdle, he would step over it by faith in the way God directed. if it was a mountain. He believed God would fly him in a personal jet or helicopter if necessary. This is what happened in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, that thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. The narrow way means you must enter and strive or struggle to come to a place where you do no more works of your own self, and you enter a state of rest. This rest is like living in the eye of a hurricane. Around you there are high winds swirling, but as long as you stay in the center of the eye of the hurricane, there is calm. That calmness, it's not from doing nothing. That calmness is coming from doing his will. The kingdom of God has a boundary, and this is like those strong winds, and everyone needs to pass through them. But at the center of God's will is a peace that passes all understanding. This is not a peace like the world can give. It is not the absence of turmoil. It is perfect peace based on doing God's perfect will and his anointing on you as a result. The yoke is easy and the burden is light. And then you're in the center of his will. You must empty yourself and not do your own works, but do the works that Jesus has assigned to you. This is part of your salvation. But this starts with a struggle and getting yourself in a condition that God can speak to you and use you. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 10 and 26. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world does not believe that the earth belongs to God. And Jesus is Lord and he's coming back. And he did not put mankind here to make decisions based on right and wrong. Only Jesus can do a good job of running this planet. And man was only supposed to act under his lordship from the beginning. Reading in the Amplified Bible, John 3:16 says this, "For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten unique Son, so that whosoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, and relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal everlasting life." The earth is the Lord's prize, and you are worth more than just a rubber ball. He loves you, and he died for you. And when you are trapped in your sins, even when trouble comes now, you can cling to him. You can rely on him. You can trust in him and obey his voice. If you follow him despite all, if you do, then you can benefit from the kingdom of God now, and you'll be ready for his appearing. Revelation 20 and verse 6 says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. After the judgment, Jesus will rule for 1,000 years and prove that he knows best how to run this planet. He will turn the earth into a paradise in just a few months after mankind has made a mess of everything by listening to the devil. Jesus is here now by the Spirit, and he can make the earth into a paradise now if we listen to him. If you can trust him to make a paradise in you in just 70 years, then I believe you'll be ready to rule over others for 1,000 years. During the rule of Christ, there will be no poverty, no diseases and sicknesses while he is in charge. People will be amazed at how he does this. without any special power or miracles. He will just apply the laws of God in the way it should have been applied to start with, and the earth will heal. This will bring honor to the Son because He is the Word. He's the living Word. And you can benefit from this now as well by rightly dividing the word of truth, not with your own mind. You cannot help anyone else to get onto the narrow, even preach the narrow way, if you do not enter yourself. If you are on the narrow way, there are signs that you have entered. Here are some. Number one, you love the truth. You have a taste for conviction. Number two, the narrow way is your pearl, and it's cost you something in this life. Number three, you've overcome sin and the devil in order to know and abide in Christ. Number four, you already have communion with God now by grace through faith. Number five, there is an abundance of the fruit of the Spirit that comes through abiding. Number six, you have stopped doing your own works and you are doing His works instead. Number seven, He is functional Lord of your life already now, and you hear His voice clearly. Number eight, you have joy in the midst of the struggles because you're in the kingdom of God now. Joseph Hitchcock says this: many believers make a great effort to walk in the message for a short season. However, they only get to know the Lord in a limited way. Their lack of success is the direct result of their unwillingness to give up their lordship. They refuse to deny themselves or repent of their own sinful habits or count the cost to follow Jesus. There is a price to be paid in any relationship, and what costs you nothing has little or no value. It may have temporal value, but no eternal value. Only the narrow way or the straight path leads to life. God is love, but if you choose to believe a lie and follow the lust of the flesh, you will sin. Through your life of disobedience, you will experience the misery that sin brings. This is not God judging you. He's just leaving you to do it your way, your own self. Galatians 6 and 7 and 8 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The flesh is the problem. If you don't like what you're reaping, stop your sowing to the flesh. We're living in a time of God's grace and forgiveness, and God is not treating us according to our sins, but giving us a chance to repent. God is waiting for you to repent of your ways. Peter says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is a simple decision to follow Christ. Before you follow Him, you can even look and see what's expected. You read chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew's Gospel. That's Matthew's Gospel 5, 6, and 7. The decision to make Him Lord is personal, and it produces a corresponding change in your life. Joseph says in chapter 1 of the book, My Sheep and My Voice, on page 1, because Jesus loved us enough to lay down His life for our redemption through His blood, we have been given the provision to know Him as well as the Father. God's purposes for His children is that we move into fellowship with Him after accepting Jesus, our personal Savior, rather than simply meeting Jesus and never having a personal relationship with Him or the Father. If you want to hear how you can get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend the book My Sheep in My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and make the decision to start on the narrow path with daily and regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure you get on and stay on the narrow path. The broad road leads to destruction. It looks good. It's even signposted heaven this way, and many well-meaning, good people attending church are on this road. For more information on ways that seem right, please read the book, The Guilty Prison by Joseph Hedgecock. The revised edition is now available in English. If this message today has spoken to you and you realize that this is something that you really want to do, you want to enter that narrow way, let me pray with you right now. Father in heaven, I know there are many scriptures that have been shared. And I'm believing that everyone who's heard this message, that your spirit is working in them right now to bring them to a place where they will just trust you with all their heart, that Christianity is not just another religion, but it is a relationship. And Father, as they go through the struggles and the challenges of that relationship, I pray they will not give up. I pray that they will see that as evidence that they are on the narrow way, and that, Father, that your spirit will continue to challenge them and tell them to repent again and again. As they receive that, they will stay on the narrow way and be ready for your appearing. I thank you in Jesus' name. If this message has helped you, you'd like to get in touch with the ministry, details will follow. God bless you and have a great day.
Do you desire to know your Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in a more personal and intimate way? Would you love for God to direct you in every detail of your life? If so, this book is for you. It'll give you clear, easy to understand instructions on how you can be prepared for an exciting and fulfilling walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. This book from Joseph Hedgecock was written from experience. Experience walked out rather than just theory. If you're interested in this book and many other resources available in different languages, then visit www.solm.org.